I think I can do it. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm entering my 20th year with the Pittsburgh Poetry Society. It's 2019, something like that, anyway. And I've been honored to be with some wonderful people who have put up with me, who've guided me, who've helped me. Today, I'm reading poems from my book, Writing by Flashlight, that Edna McChesney particularly liked. And I can only, you know, I think of her sitting down with me saying, this I like because. So this is to Edna. The fat lady sings. My song fills the night with jubilation. For some, it is the beginning. My songs fill the night with agony. For some, it is the end. For me, life is one gigantic Wagnerian opus. I am the clarion call for the pure of heart. I am the call to arms on the ram's horn for the warrior. Vicious hiss eggs the villain to greater misdeeds. I stand and wait to hear my cue. I watch you through 100 different dreams. I am alone in this building, no one to stoke the fire or turn down the bed. Archways lead to darkness. Everyone is gone. Nothing's missing. Something seems wrong. I watch you through 100 different dreams, discovering lostness or foundness. You slither constantly to the glow cast by my asking, or unfold wings to flutter from me, taking what you own, tossing aside the rest, spread out before you like a summer picnic. You've made a bargain with your body. Mine has become hollow. In the building where I am alone, shouting for silence, fighting for inner peace. Everyone is gone. No one is missing. Can nothing ever be right again? The who of me reflected in my brain is not the wholesome image I had thought, but merely a lone corpus filled with pain, where dreams of life's perfection come to naught. I've not the poise of restless stag in heat, hoofs set to answer nature's manly call. I lack the drive to make my life complete, and can but only take one step and fall. The driving force behind this lifelong axe has been a fear of failing to impress. I've been a member of the ancient ranks whose issues fall on deaf ears to redress. Come forward, passion, lust, and fierce desire. Come rid my soul of lack of ecstasy. Create within an ever-burning fire that smothers all the guilt I have in me. Awaken, golden sunrise of my being. Come forward, bring to me impassioned life. Once blinded eyes have become all-seeing, and joy has taken over from the strife. I now gain great comfort from believing that deeds I do are mine and mine alone. I will not spend my life retrieving regrets for which I have no reason to atone. I guess I am being a little dark tonight, aren't I? But anyway, we'll get to some happy stuff after a while. Forever now is fear. I'm not prostrate by your absence, and I'm afraid. I fear the barren garden where once you joyfully toiled. I fear the hollow rooms where once you sang. I fear the emptiness of the night once aglow with love. Most of all, I fear a solitary me. The daffodil, the aster, and the mum will in their own season find their grave to be where once their beauty shone. I cannot carry on alone the duty that was yours, to prune, rake, and feed, to give them life. The shrillness of my cries that fill the day in no way take the place of your arias of joy that made the dreariest of days the one most filled with sunshine. The unmussed pillow next to mine brings melancholy, where once the promises of love brought the silken embraces and kisses to bond the two of us together forever. Forever now is fear. I am alone. The garden, the halls, and the bed are still there. The flowers, songs, and love are gone. I am alone. Okay, let's bounce around a bit. Miscellany of Boyhood Failures. Bobby Ray climbed many a tree with ease and never slipped up. As for me, I'd skin my knee before I got my hip up. My attitude was not too bright. I felt I lacked those skills enabling me to fight the fight and make the needed manly kills. A whistle was all it took from Gerald to catch the ear of a pretty girl, while I could only blow hot air and pin my hopes on a wistful stare. Ronnie did his backward flips to gain a pout from a lassie's lips. Try as I might, my flips would flop, and any hopes of winning her stop. Todd had a way with the beauty queens. He'd be their king and keep 'em smiling. With my hair slicked down to a glossy sheen, I somehow failed to be beguiling. No matter how I tried to please, my teen frustration seemed to grow. The best I got was a gentle tease from any girl I'd want to know. Yeah, let's see, we've got... See, that's a little sad again. Let's do. I haven't done an Arkansas poem, have I? I know that you're all waiting for it. Okay. Writing by Flashlight, which is the title of my book, which is available up on the desk here for $10. Also, we have Potter's Quills, and we have the precursor to my book that I put together myself before I did my book. In the professional way. And we have other Potter, we also are working on our next Potter's Wheel, Christine Wolf is. Okay, writing by flashlight. I didn't say I was going to be a poet when Daddy asked what I was doing. I just said, I'm writing a poem. I could see the steam gush from his ruddy farmer's face with the force of the stream from the irrigation pump, which serenaded us with a staccato putt, 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 well into the starlit Arkansas nights. I'd done my chores, milked Bessie, fed the chickens, picked fresh peas, okra, beets, and onions for family supper. But Daddy fumed and went into a tirade about the neighbor boys back in Texas where he grew up, who wrote poetry and committed other sinful acts that caused them to die prematurely. He implied that I, too, might suffer such a fate. Yes, Dad, I said on my way out the back door down the dusty tree-lined lane to play baseball with the rough-and-tumble Baker boys, knowing that my secret thoughts must now be expressed only from beneath my flash-lit, tinted, air-dried sheets, well after parents' rusty springs had quieted down. Okay, can I do the farting dragon? I can do the farting. Okay. Following the farting dragon. I think you liked this, Walt, when you judged our contest one time. I can remember that you said that you were getting up to go get you a glass of milk and some more cookies to get over that line about the farting dragon. Okay, anyway, let's do it. Following the farting dragon. Knowing the next move might find us roommates with chickens, Mama keeps her head high and countenance stern, following Daddy to the next stop in our southern odyssey. She in the 38 Chevy loaded with brood of six, he with worldly possessions piled high in back of rattling flatbed with jerry-rigged sideboards at obtuse angles, forging through the torrid back road sweltering heat like a dragon farting fiery red clay dust. 12 awestruck eyes stare into blackness, knowing full well what lay ahead. We've been there before. 3 tiny rooms, an outhouse, a pump near the barn, a wood pile, a bed full of kids, 3 girls at head and 3 boys at the foot. There will be a cow to milk, pigs and chickens to feed, hound dogs to detick, mud holes to play in, trees to climb, vines to swing from, and enough love to go around. We're here. Mama lifts the Coleman cooler from the Chevy, pulls the ever-present dish towel from her left shoulder, dips it into icy water, and one by one wipes dragon dust from faces of her brood. They smile, then run to explore excitements in this new place, not needing store-bought toys other children have. Daddy comes, takes Mama's rag, dips it, wipes her face. They kiss, go inside, and start to clean. I'm going to finish up with the Depression. Mom and Dad had, during the Depression, there were 4 girls. And during the Depression, of course, Life magazine had wonderful articles with wonderful pictures of not so wonderful life during the Depression. But this is the day the Life photographer came. It's just a sharecropper shack with rough-hewn cypress boards on the banks of Bayou Bartholomew in the Delta, recovering from the 26th flood, entering the dryness of the Depression. Mama places the chicken-chasing broom upside down against the back door frame, squints at the blur through Delta dust coming up the lane, and tells the girls to be ladies for the gentleman caller. The Life photographer drives down the dusty oak-lined country lane, unpacks his carefully stored camera equipment from the gray 1934 Chevy businessman's coupe, lifts his camera with professional gingerness, places it on the sturdy oak tripod, ducks behind the midnight black hood, and begins to capture Dust Bowl America. Thank you.
Thank you, and our thank you, Fred. Thanks so much. That was really great. And the next reader is Christine Akins-Wolf. Please welcome Christine.